Category in service to spirit, but now it's an air sign. Thinking function.
What? Stop that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Air sign, thinking function, in service to spirit. And if we looked at the history of this. You say like you're one of the things I love to think about when I'm going into the understanding of the different mystery schools includes the Hall of Records, includes historically how these things have shown up. I recently was someone reminded me that there was a version of that was taken into the science fiction. If anybody was into Battlestar Galactica, you know, they had different planets that were actually each sign. There were the
Caprica,
Charon. And actually, interestingly, it was Caprica, the Capricorn one, which is where they had the administrative center.
Which they had a new follow-on TV series a couple years ago.
And some years ago, we were wanting to build a school in New Mexico, and we designed buildings for each of the 12 mystery schools.
Oh, wow.
You know, Sagittarius is an outlier. They're not in the middle of the city at all. And Gemini is mobile. So basically, in the history of Gemini, one of the images I love for it is imagine being born in a culture with a family that supported and validated you to, at a very early age, run off and join the circus of the carnival. And think of all the things that might be really fun to do in the circus of the carnival. You know, music, dance, performance, storytelling, acrobatics, stage magic, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty fun, but it's not entirely frivolous. It's designed to bring magic, designed to blow minds in a good way. And it's itinerant. You know, there's always some place where they're waiting for the circus or the carnival to come through town. Mm-hmm. And it's also, like Sagittarius, quote, mutable, flexible, you know, so maybe you're billed as the acrobat. But let's say the storyteller was sick. Well, you could do that too. You know, so you have this, you know, you can do it all. And it's like being part of a guild system, you know, where you're trained in these different magical arts and, you know, magical medicine show, you know, that kind of thing. And associated with that set of themes is a psychological archetype that is called the puer or the puella. Puer aeternus, puella aeternus. It means eternal youth.
Yes.
Eternal youth. You know, spirit boy, spirit girl, female Peter Pan, Peter Pan, you know, that kind of thing.
We couldn't guess that.
And there is an irreverence to it. And so we've done this so far in pairs. So we have Sagittarius, which is opposite to Gemini. One sees the other directly across the wheel. Too much Sagittarius is a very serious, earnest seeker of truth. Gemini.
Seeker?
Ha! You know, it's like there's not much sense in any meaning or purpose. It's like we've been through all that. You know. We've moved on from the quest for meaning. We get the joke, which, by the way, is also its shadow. So if an individual comes in, say, with a Gemini moon, the over-identification with the best characteristics of the mystery school, which is what happens with the moon. And then we have the classic psychological pattern of the passive aggressive, who, you know, is a disruptor, but I didn't do it. You know, they don't take responsibility for anything. They disappear. But they actually can be very much an agent of chaos.
What did you say just then?
Huh?
What are those?
Something about chaos.
It
can be an agent of chaos by their behavior. And actually, there's a very fine line between it being passive-aggressive shadow behavior and when it's the most authentic thing that could happen at any given moment. So also associated with the Gemini tribe is the tradition that shows up in many Native American tribes, the Heoka, the individual in the tribe who has the license to not have to follow any of the rules anybody else follows, not even the chief. And they can do anything they want, backwards, contrary, irrational, erratic. They're given that license because the people know that when they act that way, it's in service to spirit. You know, it's like that was the thing to do at that moment. It's not out of self-interest that they behave that way. It's like the holy fool. The fool card in the tarot is related. And it's not fool in the sense of dumb. In fact, they generally have taken all the training to get to that point. Even though it is a thinking function sign, an air sign, the ultimate liberation for Gemini is to get the ultimate joke of the mind, which is the mind can't know it all. Wow, isn't that a relief? You know, and then the mind becomes an elegant and amazing servant. It becomes an erotic sense organ, in a sense. You know, so you can know a lot, you can talk a lot, you have a story for everything. But you know the mind can't know it all. So the spiritual path of Gemini is beyond duality and polarity. Aquarius is also, there's an enlightenment path with Aquarius that involves the mind. But it's very different than Gemini. Gemini is more akin to Zen. Basically breaking the logic. You know, the mind can't figure it out. Great, you get the joke. Mind can't figure it out. You're free. That's a different thing. Well, we'll talk about the Aquarian technique later. There tends to be a situation in mainstream astrology of looking at Gemini as something trapped in duality and polarity. I'm kind of a critic of that view, because I think healthy Gemini, the purpose of the Gemini Mystery School, is to see what it's like beyond duality and polarity.
You say that's a shadow of Gemini, then?
By being trapped in it, yes. One of my favorite sort of spiritual stories about Gemini, and it was actually told to me by a teacher of mine when I was going through something very much akin to an annihilation nervous breakdown, and told me the following story. Because Thoth, Hermes, Trismegistus, Thoth, Hermes, is associated with Gemini. Okay? And the architect, basically the inventor in the Egyptian tradition of astrology. So the story goes is that Thoth is at the top of the pyramid. And below, on the ground, are the teeming masses trying to get to the top of the pyramid. And there's all these walkways up and around the pyramid. And, you know, people try to get to the top of the pyramid by figuring out how to get to the top of the pyramid. And it's like you think that maybe it's a labyrinth. You know, like in a labyrinth, you know, you get close to the center and then it takes you back out to the edge, and then you go in close to the center and back out to the edge. You do eventually do get to the center. But how many times we might have been in a labyrinth only to discover that it's actually a maze? That there actually ultimately is not a path to the center. So Foth is saying to the teeming masses, it is in fact indeed possible to figure it out. It is possible. But that way is fraught with danger. Mm-hmm. There's a much faster way. Allow my falcon to instantly sweep behind you with this beak on your third eye, and you are whisked instantly to the top. In a moment of profound surrender. And I guess the Zen koan tries to get you to do that too, you know. That's where they give you, you know what this Zen koan is? It's like they give you something to figure out that's impossible to figure out. What is the sound of one hand clapping? You know, stuff like that. So, it is very, you know, it's a path of magic to be able to go beyond the mind. But it's also in service to spirit. It is not a relational intimacy mystery either. So, if we're going to look, say, at the gods and goddesses of Gemini, the male version, like Mars and Gemini, or sometimes Gemini Moon has this. If you look towards Spain and France, this is the stories of Don Juan. Don Juan loves women. He's not an exploiter of women. Loves women. He shapeshifts into what a woman most longs for him to be. And they have a magical encounter, and he's on his way. Which is a wonderfully magical encounter, as long as the woman does not project father, husband, or boyfriend on him. So Venus in Gemini, what will be the female equivalent? What should we call her? Doña Juanita? We're not just saying it's just men can be that archetype. So they shape-shift into what the partner wants them to be, and then they're on their way. So the caricature of that in our modern culture might be the traveling musician, the traveling salesman, a person in some traveling medicine show.
The stand-up comedian.
Yep. Who goes from comedy club to comedy club, yes.
Doesn't Pisces kind of do that too? Shapeshift into what their partner wants?
But it's a completely different modality. It's involving the feeling function. We'll get to another expression that does sometimes...
there's a similar...
The Dionysian character. But that person is actually more intimately present. It's a magical encounter with Gemini. You know, there's a Native American version of it. Tocopele. The itinerant flute player. And actually, if you go all the way back to Greece, all around ancient Greece are stacks of stones that are called Hermes. And that basically says Hermes was here. It's like Don Juan was here. You know, basically made a house call, you know. And then was on his way. There's a freedom, and actually this is, I wouldn't use this expression for Sagittarius, because Sagittarius is really, it's in the renunciate category, not the sexual category per se, the personal relationship category. Gemini is a free electron. It's not a bond energy. In and of itself, You know, so, you know, there can be any number of different versions of combinations. Like there's the classic story of the Gemini type guy who shows up at a woman's house and he's there in the morning. You know, the woman says, "Well, Don Juan, what are you doing here?" And he says, "Well, wasn't that great last night?" "Well, of course it was. Are you not Don Juan? But what are you doing here?" "Well, I kind of wanted to be your boyfriend." And she says, "But you're Don Juan. Be on your way." You know, you know, this is sometimes called the tragedy of Don Juan. You know, when he wants to really be something different. And it actually, it's very reminiscent of the, if any of you ever saw the other side of the story, is that there's that, the original movie with Errol Flynn, The Adventures of Don Juan. And if you ever see it, it's really classic. It's tremendously astrological. Where Don Juan, it's the end of the movie, he's like, "I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to take a job teaching at the university. My wandering days are over." And at the end of the movie, as he's riding into town to take that job, a couple ladies go by on horseback. And he sighs. And he says, "You know, there is a bit of Don Juan in every man. But I am Don Juan." It's a truly classic So, if it's Gemini rising, then you're signing up for that mystery story. And of all, like I always like to say, that every rising sign has its own question. It's like a question associated with a rising sign, like Cancer rising, where are your children? You heard me go through that before. I forgot to say that for Sag rising, but you know the question there is, what is the truth? But for Gemini, it's a little harder to come down to one simple expression. So there's about three or four things associated with Gemini rising. One is the quest for eternal youth. You know, it's basically this puella. Usually Gemini rising people, their later phase of life is youthful. There's not anything like crone. Crone. Elder. You know, so when a person with Gemini rising reaches that phase of life, which could be called crone, it doesn't look like our picture of that. It's eternal youth, maiden at the end of life.
In physical form too, or in essence?
Both. A lot of times, not in every case with Gemini rising, you have to have other things on the chart, but often it would show up as like old when you're young when you're old.
What?
Old when you're young when you're old.
Is that somewhat of a shadowy symptom?
Not if it's Gemini rising. It can be in some other parts of the chart. A lot of times if a person has Gemini moon, and depending on the rest of the chart, then it's sort of a regressive characteristic. You know, it's the same kind of idea that once you get the essence of the school, that it can either be regressive or progressive, depending on how it shows up on the chart.
So what's the question again?
There were three questions.
It can't be narrowed down to just a simple question. So it includes this movement toward eternal youth. But it also includes this pathway toward being beyond duality and polarity. It also includes the willingness to be outside the law, this Heoka approach. Whenever we see the combination, and like Tomas is an individual like this, who has Capricorn and Gemini, then it's that combination where it's exactly what the Dalai Lama had in mind when he said, learn the rules thoroughly so you can break them responsibly. But Gemini without any Capricorn, like just a pure old Gemini moon type, can often just get away, think they can get away with everything, and it's that passive-aggressive approach, which is then regressive. Or a person is stuck in the Pu'er stage. They don't want to move beyond the Pu'er stage. But if it's Gemini rising, then that's the directional flow is toward that, if you catch what I mean. Now, how this would show up with the gut, with the projections.
That's Gemini.
Yes. Yeah, or Saturn, or a lot of Saturn. So, what about the projections? I think I gave you the examples of like Don Juan and Doña Juanita, you know, or the circus and carnival boy or girl, and so on. But let's say a woman has Mars in Gemini.
Mars.
Which means what she's looking for is Gemini.
Quadrant.
Well, let's look at it from a number of different angles. Let's say a woman is trying to get over a cultural paradigm of marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, it's awful to be attracted to Gemini types. Mm-hmm. Because they ain't going to do that. You know, in fact, it might be really difficult to get them to bond at all. But the sacred marriage for women with Mars and Gemini is to become an eternal youth. And I would say that you've done a hell of a lot of sacred marriage work on yourself there.
Mama? Or
is it Gemini? No.
Is she Gemini too?
Mars and Gemini. And so the sacred marriage is when you own your own Mars and don't live off of the projection. For good or ill. And then if a man has Venus in Gemini, well, can you imagine what that might be like from a cultural perspective? These are the guys that, on a superficial level, they're into the younger girls. No, they're into Puellas.
Who? Eternal youth.
Men with Venus in Gemini. That would be the baseline for it. But it's also at a higher octave, and a marvelous, it's like Sag in a sense, because men who have Venus and Gemini or Sagittarius really have projected the muse, the inspiring figure. You get to be with the dancer, you get to be with the singer-songwriter, you get to be with the poet, you know, that kind of thing. Although ultimately you have to develop that capacity yourself. You can't live off of that. In the same way, a man with Venus and Sagittarius is not going to eventually be happy, or the woman's not going to be happy being with the guy who simply says, "That's your department, dear. You know, so you're supposed to come with me." you just can't live it out through the woman doing it all for you. So these are very specific categories about how this works. Gods and goddesses, well, before we wrap this part of it up, I need to mention probably the most psychologically developed imagery for Gemini. And it goes all the way back to a goddess in Greece, who is written out of the pantheon by the later patriarchal Zeus cult. All right. And her name was Iris. I-R-I-S. And he's generally seen as, she's called the rainbow goddess. But at a certain point, she did everything Hermes did. They were like equals in what their functions were. And there have been a number of Jungian writers and researchers that have actually researched this a great deal about what Iris really was. And this relates big time to a certain type of therapy that's out there now. And the Greeks had a name for it also, called the psychopomp. psychopomp, meaning a guide for souls. I know people hear the word psychopomp. What the hell is that? Is that a crazy, arrogant person? No. It actually means a guide for souls. So if you have let's say you're a therapist or you're a shamanic healer, you know, and somebody needs to go into the underworld, Iris can take you there and bring you back. If you need to go into the transcendent, she can take you there and bring you back. She's a way shower. She's not a goddess of the underworld. She's not a goddess of the transcendent. She just knows all the ways. Same as Hermes. He knows all the ways. And that's a particularly interesting form of work, of shamanic work that certain people do.
Interesting synchronicity with Thoth being a Mercurian, being an Ibis. Iris and Ibis are very similar. That connection.
Fascinating. Yes. Probably so. Nobody's ever mentioned. That's really cool. It's a very interesting idea. Yeah. So it's not like when you hear all these stories, there is like the secular level. You know, like talking about Don Juan or something. You know. But yeah, but we all have seen it play it out. I mean, that's real too. But then there's these more. Sophisticated or further psychological developments about what these characters can be. The way show. And that gives you another example of how it's in service to spirit. Not for self-interest. Service to spirit. You're not doing it for your own experience. Maybe the assumption is you've already been there, but now you're here to be of service. The Gemini moons assume they get to still have the license, above the law, and not have to do anything else but to just get away with stuff. But that's not really the essence of Gemini, which is to be in service to spirit. And so when you act in a contrary way or a way that's not in accordance with normal middle world law, that's your calling to get to do that. The unduality and polarity. It's very tricky. I would have to say that in my own life, of all the different places on the wheel, and we all have one like this. I might say that our goal here is to be equally compassionate toward all the places on the wheel. And the last one for me was Gemini. And I still have sometimes trouble with Gemini. I was convinced when I did circles that the Geminis in the room were trying to mess with me all the time. And it's like they were purposely out to mess up my plan.
Like on my roof? Like on my roof?
Yeah. You can be a Gemini figure sometimes. Some have been in the circles. No. But I realized that what gave me the greatest insight into having compassion for Gemini, because remember, Gemini and Capricorn don't see each other. The relationship between those two is not a relationship. It's called an inconjunction. Not a square. It's worse than a square, actually. Because square, you know what you're up against. You know what you're up against with a square. But with an inconjunct, it's so different. It's like different universes.
What's it really exact?
Huh?
The number? What's the angle?
He's just saying the sense of it.
But there is an angle to it, right?
150.
Yeah.
Called the quincunx. So the clue I got was, and this was a group I was doing down in Peru, and I finally realized what was going on. And this guy was just so Gemini. He was so out to just do in my plans. And it was the last time in my life I ever got into a little minor fistfight with him because it was seriously. I mean, it was just out there. I mean, I just lost it. And
so it's like 22 years ago.
Yeah, 22. Yes. 22. Thank you, Kelly. No, it was yesterday. No.
Yeah.
So you generalize. No. Anyway, so what I realized was he wasn't really trying to mess with me. He was afraid of the emotional intensity. It was just too much. So he had to do, for his own survival, he tried to distract. It was just making him so unbelievably uncomfortable that he had to do something in order to survive, which was to distract the intensity. And I finally got it. You know, because it's an air sign. It doesn't know emotion. It does not know emotion. It's like a great Aikido master who the energy comes toward them and they just move by. They don't ever have to confront it. They dance around it, rise above it, detach from it. It's a great approach. I mean, it's 1 of 12. But let's just say it's very different than having to deal with the Capricorn moon with Mars and Scorpio. Jeez, I mean, this just really put him at his wit's end, you know. Okay, folks, that.